Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to session 6 of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. If you're watching this, it is pre-recorded. So I set up these training sessions on Fridays. And then a couple of times now I've been traveling. As you're watching this, I'm actually on a super fun adventure. You can follow me on either Instagram, Facebook. I might even post it on LinkedIn about where I am at right now. Once it's over, I will say that as you're watching this, in my adventure that I'm at, I don't have any cell phone reception. So that's why I'm recording this in advance, because I still wanted to keep the schedule. I still wanted to help you all, everybody tuning into this live or the replay, help you with your sales. And that's really my mission. And I mention this each time because I think it's super important to understand where I'm coming from, why I'm doing this, and then why I want to help you watching this. So before we get into the content, I want to tell you again, my mission is to facilitate transformation by enabling and encouraging light bulb moments, by helping the underdog win their game, and by leaving people better than I found them. And fundamentally, those three things go into a bigger mission that I have, which is to help create and encourage and empower over a million authentic persuaders. And if you're not familiar with authentic persuasion, make sure to check out the book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quarter Breaker. You can also check out the Authentic Persuasion Show, which is a podcast, has over 400 episodes. And you can also find me online, go to jasoncutter.com. There's a hub for everything. You can also go to authenticpersuasion.com. Lots of ways there, but really authentic persuasion is about helping you be successful in sales, in business, by being who you are, using your strengths and leveraging that to be what the customer needs and wants most, which is a sales professional, not a trickster, not somebody who manipulates, not someone who uses lots of slick closing lines to trick people into buying, but a true sales professional that's authentic, transparent, honest, and wants to help them in some way possible. So that is the setup. Again, if you want more information, you want to reach out to me, I'm going to be sharing a lot of information today. Take notes, but also as I go through it, there's some things that I know I'll mention that I have guides for, checklists, ebooks, all kinds of things. If you want anything, or if you want to chat, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And that way I'll send you whatever I've got just to help you. No strings attached, no big call to action. Just want to help as many people as I can so we can shift the way that sales is done, which will then shift how consumers feel when they interact with a salesperson. So last week on this show, on the sessions that I did on session 5, was all about leadership. So that one was talking about leadership and you becoming a leader and focusing on seeing your role in the sales process as a leader of the prospect and everything going on. A lot of times people hear leader and leadership, and when I say sales leader, they're thinking manager, supervisor, team lead, boss, somebody in a leadership role over the salespeople. But what's interesting is the same principles, and I covered this. Make sure to check out session 5. I covered the fact that
if you want to be effective in sales, it's about being a leader. And the same principles apply. And being a leader is about pulling people along on your mission to go towards your vision and where you see yourself going. And an effective leader that we think of, right? The big names in leadership that come to mind when somebody thinks of an effective leader, that person is pulling people along. Right. And so you want to do that with your prospects. You want to pull them along this journey towards the finish line, towards something better for them, right? Either out of pain or towards a goal. And that is your focus, is to be a leader and pull them. Now, classic sales, which is what I mentioned last week, is all about pushing people. It's about tricking and closing and cornering them and backing them into that corner where they have to buy, or getting them to do this or that. And that's about pushing people. And really, if you want to be very effective at sales and have long-term clients and long-term success, you want to be pulling people along the journey with you. So make sure to check that out. If you didn't see that one, it is so important. It's such a valuable concept to shift your mindset, especially if you find yourself being an order taker. Then the key is to shift towards seeing yourself as a leader in that conversation of that transaction, and not in a way that's manipulating. So like, I'm going to lead them and I'm going to take them with me, and I'm going to control it, but more, I'm going to lead them and they're going to come along. So I always love to recap, because I want you to know, in case you missed it, maybe this is the first time tuning in. If so, welcome. Make sure to check out the other 5 episodes. Again, you can check these out live. You can check them out on replays on social media. You can also find them as a replay in the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. And if you're a longtime listener and joining in again, appreciate you being here. And so now let's dive into it. So this week, so last week we talked about leadership. Now we're going to start talking about the persuasion piece. So remember, if you tuned into the first episode, the first session that I did, or you have the book Selling with Authentic Persuasion, then you know it's broken up into 3 parts. It's the authentic persuasion process and formula starts with authenticity. And that's so important. A lot of times people come to me and what they want is tactics, strategies. What question can I use? How do I overcome this objection? How do I close more deals? And that's so important. However, if you don't have the foundation, it's not going to work. It's not going to be effective. The foundation is the key. So you have to have the authenticity piece. You have to know who you are, why you're doing it, what works for you, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what you're afraid of, what's holding you back, and then ultimately why you're doing what you're doing. Once you have that, once you're very clear on that, or as clear as you can be, now we can start talking about persuasion. Now we can start talking about sales. Now we can get into the specifics, some tactics, some strategies from a high level, right? This isn't about say this one thing to close more deals. It's about understanding and being very specific in what you're doing, but in a general thing that applies to anything you're selling, anyone in sales, these things apply. So this week, what I'm going to cover is that buying something new equals change. Now, why does that matter? Well, let's break it down, because it sounds simple. It is and it isn't. A lot of people don't realize this, and a lot of people aren't stepping back. So here's the fundamental thing, is that the act of buying something new, if it's not something you've bought before or your customer has bought before, then that equals change, right? It's interesting to see that, especially during the pandemic and before the pandemic and in the pandemic, even with little things like, let's say, paper towel brands or toilet paper, like when that was a big issue here, especially in the United States, is that what you saw and what I saw was people who are very loyal to a brand of paper towel would never switch. They know what they like. It works for them. They know what they can expect and what they'll get each and every time. Then the pandemic made it so that a lot of things weren't available, paper goods especially. And then what happens? People had to switch brands, right? And it wasn't because they wanted to. It was mostly because they needed to. And that was a change. And that change was risky. You don't know what you got. And I know for me, having to buy some paper towels that I wasn't used to, a couple of times it failed really bad. It wasn't very effective. And it solidified why I choose certain brands. This is so important to understand. If you want to be effective in sales, then you need to understand what your prospect is facing. A lot of times people in sales, get in autopilot, or they assume that everybody wants what they have to offer and what they're selling, and they kind of forget the person. They get desensitized to the individual and what may be going on in their head, in their life, what matters to them, what they're afraid of, what they have going on, what their goals are. And so it's important to constantly remind yourself to step back and remember the individual, focus on that person and who they are and what makes them tick. Specifically, you've got to remember, again, buying something new equals change. And here's the part that's so true and so important, is that change is scary. Change could potentially lead to death. Now, I know that sounds dramatic, and let's take a step back. Let's go in the Wayback Machine and let's go back, I don't know, you pick 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 years, a million years, pick some time in the past. And then imagine the world that we lived in as a tribal species, a tribal group and society, small tribes, family tribes, localized tribes, right? And so our survival was based on sticking together as a group. Our survival was based on sticking to what we knew to be safe and to be effective. Fundamentally, we thrived as a species that has then come to dominate the planet for good or for bad. But we have thrived because we've sticked with what we know, and we've sticked together as a tribe. And then we've pushed those boundaries in a safe way that works while not risking too much overall, right? Especially in our early times. Why is this a matter? Why is this important? You may be selling furniture and you're now watching this thinking, but Jason, what does that have to do with me selling a couch to this newlywed couple that wants to buy a couch? Here's why this is so important, and you've got to understand this, is that way back and also not that long ago, anything that we did was, it was in our comfort zone and it was known, and a best way for us to be alive and safe was to stick with the known. It was to stick with the comfort zone. It truly wasn't that long ago that falling and breaking your leg or picking the wrong berries to eat would kill you or cause you to be sick. And there wasn't medicine, there wasn't doctors, there wasn't treatment, right? If you broke your leg and got an infection, you're done, right? You're either crippled or you're going to die from the infection. And if you're crippled and part of a nomadic tribe that has to move, and that moving, you know, moving effectively and quickly through the wilderness where there are literally things that are trying to kill you all the time, if you're slowing down the tribe, they will leave you behind. And if you check out the book Sapiens, I don't remember the author offhand, but it's interesting because in there they talk about this principle and the fact that there is tribes, even in recent history, in this century, that are still doing that. If somebody is sick or dying or loud, then they leave that person behind because it will attract undue attention, bad attention from things out there that are trying to kill them. Lions, tigers, bears, and so on. And so it wasn't that long ago in our history. Our mind still holds that. There's that a part of our brain, the amygdala, which is focused on survival. It sees the world as dangerous and it thinks that everything is out to get us. And it always is on the lookout for what it thinks might be bad for us. And it wants to assume that everything is bad because, again, that's how we've made it to this point. That's how we've survived. That's how we've thrived, is by constantly being on the lookout for danger, being aware of our surroundings and situations that could cause us harm, and to literally avoid anything that feels dangerous. And change is dangerous. Change, again, could lead to death. If you think about it, it wasn't too long ago, again, where if we timed the season wrong or picked the wrong location to live, or, you know, didn't have access to food, we're toast, right? And those groups didn't survive. Those individuals didn't make it. And so it was the people who realized, here's what we do. Here's what we always do. Here's how we stay safe. That's who has made it and gotten to this point. Now, here's the thing, is our current society is so comfortable for most of us, for anybody watching this, if you have access to the internet and you have access to devices and electronics and electricity such that you can watch or hear this, your life is fairly comfortable, especially in terms of our recent history. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that your life is comfortable. There's really nothing to be afraid of. Yet in that part of our mind all the time is something looking for danger. Now, here's what I think is important, because I hear this a lot from people. They say, well, I'm not afraid of change and I don't have an issue with that. And that's true. And what I have found is that even in individuals, is there are people who aren't afraid of change. They don't care. They're not afraid of trying new things or doing new things in some categories, but not all categories. Now, some people might be open to change in all categories, but generally what I find is that somebody who's willing to try new restaurants might not be willing to try a new place to live or a new relationship or a new job or career, right? Somebody who's, willing to try a new job might not be willing to try new types of food. And so it's interesting to see how people are. Where this fits in with sales and why this is so important for you to understand is that to get people to buy from you requires them to face the danger and stress and unknown risk that comes with change. Because again, if they knew what they want and they knew what they needed and there was no risk of change, either it would be something they've already bought before, so they're already a customer of yours, or they've already bought your brand, or they're already fully on board, or they would have just ordered it online. They would have gone online and ordered it, right? Or they would have called up, and as soon as you talk to them or walked into your store, as soon as you talk to them, they say, I want this. I know what I need. Can you just help me buy it? Here's my money, right? And those kind of transactions, those lay down transactions where there's no effort required, it all they're looking for is a pure order taker to help them take their order, take their money. Those people have already faced the risk of change. They've accepted it. They know what they want. They don't need any help. For everybody else, for any other potential customer you talk to who doesn't go down that route of either ordering online and signing up online or whatever they could do online relative to what you sell, or they aren't walking in or calling in with money in hand, knowing exactly what they want and just needing someone to process their paperwork or their enrollment, their credit card, their money. For everybody else, they are struggling with change. They are worried about change. They are afraid of the unknown, the danger that comes with change. And it's important for you to understand that. A lot of times people in sales see objections or see things they've got to, rebuttals they have to come up with, or even their sales process and how it's built. And I've just got to show this person how it makes sense. And then that's all it takes, right? It should make sense. It should be easy. It should, like, if I show you the features and benefits, if I give you enough facts and figures, then it should be okay. I don't know why this doesn't make sense and why you're not buying from me. The challenge is that you're not addressing the fundamental challenge that's within each of your prospects at the deepest level. And we're talking deep, deep level, might not even be aware of it, which is they are afraid of change, because change equals death. The known equals survival. And again, I know I get this because I get this from audiences and groups and people I train and companies all the time, that sounds super dramatic. You're just trying to sell what you're selling and you're talking to somebody and they've got some issues and some challenges, but it's not that dramatic. I hear that a lot, but it is. And again, it's either the prospect admits it and understands how dangerous this is and how much risk they're at and how much they are afraid of buying, or they don't, and it's all like subconscious. It's deeper than that. They don't know why they bring up these questions and objections. They don't know why they hesitate in buying. They don't fully grasp what triggers them, yet it's in there, right? It's in their head. It's in there somewhere deep. And that's literally what's doing it for them and limiting them, is that part of their brain that's still in survival mode and still wants the known, the safe, the comfort zone, and what they can expect, because that's what will keep them alive, versus the rest. And so that's super important to understand. You've got to realize that your job, this is why I talked about the being a sales leader last week and pulling people along on your mission towards that vision for them, right? It's all about them, which I'm going to cover a lot in the upcoming sessions. It's all about them. It's got to be about them. It's the only way to be successful, is to make it about them. And your job is to facilitate that change. Your job is to make them feel safe. And SAFE is an acronym I use, which is successful at fear elimination. Successful at fear elimination. That is your one job. You have this one job, which is to make them feel safe. Again, successful at fear elimination. When you can do that, not, well, I guess I would say if you can do that, you'll have a transaction. But once you do that, when you make them feel safe, when you help facilitate that safety, you will get them to see that change is okay, that it's going to be all right, that it's okay, right? And think about it, right? If you've ever gone to a new restaurant, somebody says, hey, let's go to this new restaurant. It's great. I went there last week. It was fun. It was fantastic. The food was great. The service was great. And you're like, I don't know. I've never been there. I've never had that type of food, right? There might be some hesitation. That other person's trying to help you feel that it's safe, right? That it's okay. They've gone ahead. They've scouted it. They came back alive. Everything is okay. And you should try it as well. And hopefully you have the same shared experience that they do. And of course, we've all had that where we've gone to a restaurant where somebody just raves about it and thinks it's amazing. And I know for myself, and I've been in those situations where I go with them. Okay, sounds good. Let's go try it. And I'm just like, this is not good. Like, we have different tastes. Like, this was not a good place, and the service was not good, or whatever that might be. And, you know, but to get there, to go into the restaurant, to sit there even at all, it's about feeling safe. It's risk. And of course, I get it, right? Choosing a restaurant, going to a new restaurant, it seemed like a silly example. But for some people I know, they literally like to go to the same restaurants every time. They don't like to try something new. They're worried about something new. They don't like certain foods. They've never had a certain food, you know, maybe something that's not within their normal area where they live. And so they're not interested in trying it. Some other people, super adventurous, will try anything because they know there's really no risk. You're out some money. Hopefully you don't get sick. There's enough food safety rules, at least in the US, that you shouldn't get sick. And so why not try it? Why not risk change? Remember, as a sales leader, again, that's a leader of the transaction, of the conversation, your job is to help them feel safe. Your duty is to help them feel safe, successful at fear elimination. That's one of the main parts, right? So we're talking about buying something new equals change. Change is scary. Change could equal death. The known is safe. Now, I'm talking about the individual so far and what could put them at risk of, let's say, harm or death, where they choose something and they could die. Now, most likely you're selling something that will not directly impact somebody's ability to survive and stay alive, right? So, you know, I work with companies who are helping someone get out of credit card debt, or with the other forms of debt, or with their utilities, or it could even be furniture or their business. And buying from you isn't going to necessarily kill them, right? They aren't risking life and death by buying. Now, I will say though, is that there are times when somebody does buy or doesn't buy, and if it's a mistake either way, then that could lead them to a chain of events that could lead to the worst case scenario. We kind of talked about that before when I covered fear setting a few weeks ago for you and your goals, which is if you don't go after what you want, what's the worst case that happened? Or if you try and you fail, right? If you call that person and they reject you and they say, no, they're not interested, what's the worst case? And the worst case and worst case, ultimately ending up with maybe you living under a bridge or being homeless or, you know, alone. And so we know that's most likely not going to happen, but that's what your customer's brain is thinking. And obviously you're hopefully not in any way going to affect that, whether they buy from you or don't buy from you. So that's one part. And that's just half the equation when we're talking about this part of our primal brain, it's afraid of change. And I'm just going to keep hammering that because it's so important. When you get this concept, especially, it will change the way that you sell and look at sales because you will understand the other person. You will have empathy for what's going on in their brain that they cannot control, that we all have, that at times we're not even aware of. So when you get this, it's, trust me, it's a game changer. Now, the other half of the formula, the other half of the equation of what's going on in our brains, in the amygdala, that part that's lingering from thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years, is that, like I mentioned earlier, is that we have survived and thrived as a group, as a tribe, as a species that stuck together, worked together, and then kept working together. Now, of course, there are animals out there in the animal kingdom that work together, right? Like primates and other creatures. I can't think of any other ones. Let's say whales, like they work together. They stick in their pods. They defend each other. They help each other. They raise each other's babies and to grow up, right? And they kind of care for each other in these groups. And they mostly work together. But we as humans have done that at a level that no other species really has, as a way that has led to us, again, dominating the planet in good and bad ways. The thing is that we have done that. We're a group. One of the biggest challenges, I mentioned this earlier, is that when you do something against the tribe or you're seen as a risk for the tribe, they will kick you out. They would have kicked you out a long time ago if you were completely ineffective or a danger or sickly, or slowing down the group, they would leave you behind. And that part of our brain still exists even more. And I would say this is the case, even more than our individual survival and well-being. We care more about the perception of ourselves within the tribe of humans. Now, your tribe might be different now. It might be your personal groups, your friends, people around you, people in this a small circle, a bigger circle, online, social media, business world, whatever that looks like. But I will contend and stand by and debate that our fear within the primal part of our brain, in that amygdala and everything around it, is actually more worried about being kicked out of the tribe of humans, as dramatic as that sounds. It's more worried about being kicked out of the tribe of humans than it actually is about our own individual survival. And here's why I can say that. And here's what I know. Death is typically, and the stats show it, and they've always showed it, death is most people's second greatest fear. Their primary greatest fear, the number one fear ahead of death, of their own individual life coming to an end, is generally in the form of public speaking. Most people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of their own life coming to an end. Right? I cannot remember who to attribute this to. So please, I'm not trying to take this as my own. I just don't remember who it is. I heard recently that someone said people would rather be in the box than be giving the eulogy at the funeral. And it's so crazy, but it's so true. People would rather be in the box and be the one that people are talking about at the funeral than have to stand up and give a eulogy at somebody else's funeral. And it's funny, but it's true. And the reason why it's so true, and again, this directly applies to sales. And of course, everything in life is sales. Just as a reminder, you can use this anywhere in your life and look at where this might show up in your life when it comes to change and going after what you want, being held back from what you want, being successful in the goals that you set, as well as in your sales process and what you do with helping move people forward and persuading them to buy once you determine if they're qualified. The key is understanding that that part in our brain is still there, where it's afraid of being kicked out of the tribe, upsetting the tribe. And it's so important, because what happens, and this is where a lot of issues in sales during the conversation, and then also once the transaction is done, where you have buyer's remorse and people who canceling or calling back with issues and they want to back out of the deal or they want to return what they bought. The key is that they're worried about embarrassment, being ridiculed, being made fun of, looking bad, looking wrong, making a mistake. All of those things, all of those type of emotions or reactions are a part of us that then triggers this feeling like, if I get embarrassed and I look bad because of a decision I made, I'm going to get kicked out of the tribe of humans. What does this have to do with public speaking? And where does that tie in? I firmly believe that most people do not like public speaking, not because they don't have something to say. Everyone has something to say. I mean, you get most people to open up about something they know about, care about, they're passionate about, something from their life, something, some kind of experience. You can't stop most people. The rub is that what they're afraid of is messing up or saying the wrong thing or getting somebody upset or getting called out for maybe something they said wrong or don't know. And then that embarrassment, that looking bad, that being made fun of, that is in our mind. Because again, at a deep level, if we mess up and we upset the tribe could kick us out. And again, I know that sounds dramatic, but it's so true. And if you compound that fact, where that's in our brain, and some people, again, are more driven by that than others. More people, there's some people who either that's not in their way and they have no problem performing. And, you know, if you've seen videos of musicians, rock stars, performers, actors at a young age, you can see as a young age, they didn't have that inhibition and they just went for it and they didn't care and they wanted any audience at any time. There's those people. It's great. For the rest of us, myself included, do not like the thought of public speaking or didn't for the longest time because of that. And again, if you compound that with most people's childhood experiences, which is that sometime in early childhood in school, you stood up to do a presentation, it didn't go well. Or if it went okay for you, I know for myself, what I saw is other people who it didn't go well for, and then they got ridiculed or they were embarrassed and they got made fun of and they got shunned and picked on. Right? It doesn't even have to happen to you. A lot of times you could see someone else go through a difficulty or a challenge like that in front of the tribe, in front of the group, in front of the class. And then you can see that and go, I don't want to go through that. Please don't make me go through that. The last thing I want to do is get up there and face what Johnny just went through. Please don't make me do it. So that leads to us in our brain confirming we want to do what the tribe does. We want to do what our friends do, our family does. We want to buy what people have. We want to color within the lines, and we want to move forward and do what other people are doing so that we can stay safe. We want to follow the rules of our tribe, and we want to stick with that so that the tribe keeps us as a part of it and doesn't kick us out, because we don't want to be alone. The biggest thing that our mind is afraid of is being left alone, because when you're left alone and shunned, because we are a social creature, you're left out there in the wilderness. Not only is there a loneliness factor of not being around other humans, but there's also the fact that out there in the wilderness on our own, good luck. Some people could survive. Most people can't, especially in our comfortable society. Most people, if you're like, you're kicked out of the tribe of humans, go up in the mountains, you're banished. Good luck. Most people aren't going to make it very long, right? I would hope so, but most people I know feel like they're not going to make it. So the last thing they want to do is upset the tribe. If all of your friends have iPhones, you're going to get an iPhone. If all your friends have Android and are anti-iPhone, and that's the tribe that you're with, that's what you're going to do, right? If your tribe votes this way or feels that way or lives here or does this or goes on these kind of vacations, you're going to do that. Now, once again, and wrapping this up and tying it together, what does this have to do with sales? Well, again, the thing is that your perspective customers are human and they have that part in their brain that they are constantly afraid. They are afraid of change. They're afraid of change for their own well-being. They're afraid of making a mistake that could then get them kicked out of the tribe of humans, and they want to stick with what they know. Here's the main challenge though, is if you're selling them something that they've never bought before, that they might not even be fully aware of how it works, that they couldn't just order online, then you are expecting them to change. And when you expect them to change, you might not realize it. You might not have called it that and put those words on it. When you're expecting them to change, you are fighting a force that is much, much greater and more experienced than you, right? And it is a tough one because it's not just you versus this consumer. It's not just you versus this potential buyer. You got to overcome their objections and come up with slick rebuttals and move the conversation forward and use the right transitions and, you know, have the right confidence and close in the right way. Like, that's important. That's all on the surface, but you're really up against something much deeper than that. And of course, there are customers who just sign up easy. Doesn't take a lot. They don't have many objections. You're not having to deal with that. That's not who I'm talking about. That's not who I'm trying to help you persuade. I want you to persuade the others that are more stuck, that are more afraid, that you know you can help, that are still craving and needing your assistance. Those are the ones that I want you to be effective with. That's the difference between you achieving your financial goals and your goals in life and what you want and going after what it is that you desire, what you have on that vision board. That's the difference between that and being an order taker and failing at sales or just meeting the minimums and being unhappy, being worried that you're constantly going to be fired or without a job or broke, whatever that is. That is the difference. The difference is you being able to understand this and help those people who are stuck because their brain is afraid of change, because that change equals death. And your job, once again, is to help people feel safe, successful at fear elimination. That is your one job. When you do that, conversations are easier. You understand them more, and you don't take things like objections and roadblocks as personal. Because it's not about you, unless you're a jerk, unless you're an ass, right? Which sometimes I see. And then those people get objections and it's because they're triggering it. Most people though, they're nice and they care and they're trying to help someone from their sales role and they get objections. Don't take it personal. It's not you. It's eons and eons of subconscious programming and training that has kept us alive, that has made us successful, that has helped us thrive as a species and get to where we are right now. So remember, that's what you're up against. Make sure to remember that, to focus on that, to look at that. And then, because it's always fun, it's not just about your customers, it's about you. Where does that show up in your life? What can you do that is holding you back where you don't want to do something different? I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about strengths. Try Toastmasters if you want to get better at speaking and presenting. I will tell you, I did it for 2 years. It's scary. Even to this day, when I'm about to get up on stage, I feel like I'm literally going to go to the bathroom and throw up all at the same time. And I just feel sick. And it's that primal part of my brain that's like worried I'm going to screw up and look bad and then get kicked out of the tribe. And I just do it anyway. So the more you can focus on yourself, what can you change? What can you do different? Where do you see that barrier to change and your comfort zone get in the way of what you want or things that you could do or new adventures or new relationships or new things in life? So I challenge you to also look at that. Now, if you want some help with this, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I don't really have a lot of guides about this, but I do have some resources. I have some other videos that go into this a lot more detail. So if you want to understand it and understand the psychology and the mind science and where we come from and how to overcome that, I've got some great resources. I'm happy to send that to you. Again, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. But that's it for session 6. Thanks for joining. If you're watching this live or well, you're watching the replay because I pre-recorded this, make sure to also check out the podcast, The Authentic Persuasion Show, where you can get these replays, subscribe to it. I do these on Fridays. And then my goal is to get those episodes out by Monday. So that's great. Otherwise, make sure to follow me. If you're curious about anything that I have, that I do, any of the projects, the training, the consulting, the advising, the speaking that I'm doing, go to jasoncutter.com, which is my hub for everything. And if you want a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker, if you'd like that free, just cover the shipping and I will send you a signed copy of that. Make it easy. Just go to Jason, or just email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I'll send you the link. You get that set up, put in your information. I'll get a copy out to you right away. But that's it. Hope you have a great day. Have a great weekend. And I will see you next week.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.